Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so good to be here tonight. We're going to sing and worship God for a while, and of course we're going to have our Bible study, but let's pray before we do anything. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy promises, thanking thee for the knowledge and the understanding that thou art here with us. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to thy perfect will, according to thy perfect plan. I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would have free course here today. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would move upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. Inspire us, O God, to truly and fully give thee our hearts. And I ask, O God, that thou wilt continue to be with us throughout this service and lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do here tonight. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we start with number 11 in the chorus book? Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Feels good to praise the Lord, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. And let's give him our hearts tonight. Let's worship him. Let's go to number 44 and sing, Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory through his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise God. Let's go to number 169. 169 and sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercy. mercies of the Lord forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. We do serve a merciful God, and we serve a mighty God. We serve a wonderful God, and I'm so thankful that we can put our trust in Him. Not in men and not in the arms of this world. The arms of flesh will fail you, but we can put our trust in the Lord. You know, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's go to number 19 and sing that chorus right now. Number 19 in the chorus book, Some Trust in Chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord. Glory to God. And I am so thankful that we can have the victory tonight through Jesus. Praise God. Let's go to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus. Number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, let's go to number 89. Number 89 and saying God can do anything. God can do anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do
anything, anything, anything God can do, anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything God can do, anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
I am so thankful that we serve a God who can truly do anything. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Continue to lead us by Your hand, Lord. I pray that Thou would show us the way, show us what we must do in these days, O God, that is filled with so much controversy. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to help us. Help us to reach the lost, we pray, Lord, for that is why we are here. And we are so thankful for that privilege to be here to do what we do. And I pray, Lord, for Thy guiding hand. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the sake of Thy mighty kingdom. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we go into our time of Bible study. And why not sing number 90? The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Strong tower, the name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart today. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so good to be able to come here tonight and worship the Lord. You know, I'm so glad that we were able to put our trust in the Lord. This was happy news this morning about 7:30. I received the news that Trump had won the election, and you know, I just can't help but feel like, you know, I know, we all know that there's, you know, problems with Trump, but we know the other option. You know, it was like we were being dragged into the lion's den, and I tell you what, it didn't feel good, and I'm so glad we were able to pray the other night, you know. I just have a feeling, because this was a turnaround. This is not what they expected. I know the magazines had already, you know, had cover pages with Hillary as president, and you know, they were already in shops from what I had heard, and you know what, they had projected that all the way. But God, I believe He heard the prayers of His people. Amen. I believe He heard our prayers, our crying out to Him, because, you know, we were in great danger. You know, the potential was not good. And, you know, it just, I was thinking, you know, just before church tonight, it was almost like, you know, we sometimes talk about Hezekiah when the Assyrians were threatening him, and Sennacherib, you know, had threatened and sent Rabshakeh there to, you know, pound away at them and, you know, tell them that, you know, they should just give in and let the Assyrians take over, and, you know, that, you know, what did they have, you know, that they could trust in, you know, and think not because, you know, the other nations, we've all brought them down, that, you know, your God's going to save you. But I'm so thankful, you know, we know what Hezekiah did. He went into the house of the Lord and brought his supplication before God. And, you know, God heard him. Amen. And those Assyrians were not allowed to come into Jerusalem and take it. You know, that's our God. We can just understand how wonderful and how powerful He is and how gracious He has been to have called us into this marvelous light. Oh, we are really blessed. You know, we can sing those songs. You know, we could just, you know, fully envision what the message is there, the God that we trust in. You know, it's so true. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we can trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. We can put our trust in that. And I'm just thankful. You know, God has helped us. And, you know, one thing for sure, we need to learn how to pray. You know, people need to turn their hearts to the Lord. There's tremendous confusion in this land and in this world. And yet we know God is the only answer. You know, we know He's coming to judge. We know, you know, that this world is coming down. But, you know, we pray that perhaps God would give us more chance and more opportunities to go forth and do His work. And you know, it seems that He's granted that to us. I know we're going to have to just continue to, you know, stay on our knees and make our supplications known, but God is able to help us. And I think He really showed us that. It was really amazing. It was a turnaround from all the projections that they had made with that election. And we thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pray right now and ask God to have His way here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that we can come before Thee, Lord. God, we know that we can put our hope, our trust in Thee, Lord, and there's nothing too hard for You, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd give us greater faith, Lord. And oh God, oh, we thank You and praise You for Your help toward us. Oh God, so many times You've rescued us, Lord, in times we probably didn't even know and understand, but there are so many times, Lord, there were so many things lurking, oh Lord, and opposing us, oh Lord God, but oh Lord, You have delivered us, oh Lord, and Your hand, oh Lord, has been good toward us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, and we praise You, God. Oh God, we give You the praise, we give You the glory, oh Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord, that we can acknowledge You, Lord Jesus, oh God. And oh, we can thank You with grateful hearts for that which You have done, Lord. I pray that You'd be here tonight, oh Lord, that You would direct our hearts, You talk to our souls, Lord, that you'd bind the strong man in every hindering spirit. Oh God, that you'd give unction, oh Lord, and anointing here tonight. Oh God, I know I can't do this without you, Lord, and I pray for thy direction and thy help, oh Lord. Oh God, that you'd minister to all of us, Lord God. That you'd give us what we have need of, Lord, and that you'd speak to our souls. Oh God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, asking, oh Lord, you be here, Lord. Oh, Lord, that your words would speak to us, God. And oh, God, that you'd grant us that closer walk with you, Lord, that higher ground, the things that we have need of as individuals, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord our God. He's so good to us. Oh, praise God. We're going to go to Isaiah 11 to begin here tonight. We're going to call this the highway of holiness, and to see how the Lord might direct this precious word that he's given to us. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that we can open it up here tonight. Amen. We're going to look at Isaiah, the 11th chapter, and oh, it's a tremendous chapter all the way around, but we're going to start with verse 10. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He goes, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it tells us in the 11th verse, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar and from Hamath, and from the islands of the seas, of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart. The adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. This is a wonderful prophetic chapter here in Isaiah 11. And of course, you know, when it indicates that in that day, it seems to be talking about this wonderful dispensation of grace almost always, it seems like, in the scripture. And of course, that root of Jesse, which is being discussed there in verse 10, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, what a wonderful, wonderful difference it made when Jesus came to this earth. And here it was, it tells us he should stand for an ensign. It was like a flag. There was going to be a trigger there, something that would gather the people together. And it talks about specifically that the Gentiles would also seek that. And also it indicates the rest that would come forth, and that rest would be glorious. And then it talks about the Lord for the second time recovering the people, the remnant of the people, those that had been left behind, those that were yet to recovered, to be recovered. Of course, we know that Jesus came. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. And he brought forth that glorious rest, that rest of the Holy Ghost, you know, that was prophesied in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, where it says, this is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing that they would not hear. And of course, he's talking about those stammering lips and another tongue that he would speak to the people with. and then declaring to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet it says they would not hear. The 30th chapter of Isaiah talks about that rest too. Verse 15 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And he would not. You know, it's just so amazing. Every time that rest is discussed, it seems like, you know, there's the answer, returning to the Lord, coming back to him, and that glorious rest that he would offer. It says, "Shall ye be saved? In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." In other words, letting the Lord work in our lives, letting the Lord call the shots, letting the Lord direct our paths. But there's such reluctance, isn't there? It says, he would not. In fact, it's outrank rebellion here in verse 16. "But ye said, No, for we have flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we'll ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." Oh, yes, he's talking about reluctance, outright rebellion there. Those, you know, instead of allowing the Lord to work, allowing the Lord to do his work, instead going the other direction and fleeing upon horses, riding upon the swift. Therefore the Lord was going to pursue them and they would be swift. Also, Jeremiah 6, it speaks of that rest. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein." And again, here it is, returning. You know, in returning and rest, thou shalt be saved, as it said in Isaiah 30. But here, again, it's a return, standing in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and it says, walk therein. And then it promises, ye shall find rest for your souls. But again, look at the open rebellion. "But they said, We will not walk therein." People so reluctant to walk in the ways of the Lord. Of course, Jesus, when he came on the scene, and ministered to the people, he declared that rest too when he said in Matthew the 11th chapter, verse 28, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, under the old covenant, there was a sabbatical rest, and the Lord had decreed it and commanded it, and it was for their benefit and for their good. And he expected them that, you know, when it was that Sabbath day, that they would rest from their labors in the physical sense. But here, notice there in Matthew the 11th chapter, he's talking about rest again, and this time it was a rest unto your souls. And how precious it is, the Lord sent forth his Spirit so that we could rest from our labors, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And we could turn to the Lord. And I believe that rest is the gift of the Holy Ghost that he gives to us, to lead us, to direct us, to show us what we need to know, to give us the answers, the power that we need to withstand the evil, the power to live for God. Oh, yes, that rest unto our souls. And you know, he says here, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, if we're leaning on the Lord and letting him steer our ship, then we can have confidence in that. We can rest in that. You know, we can let him direct our paths and all is well. But there is such a reluctance in this world today, and so has it been. But anyway, the Lord did set forth his hand that second time to recover his people. And again, this was that spiritual outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he recovered them after 70 years out of Babylon and in the other places that they had been dispersed to. But there was this second time that he was again going to call forth his people that had been left here and there and scattered and, you know, left in the dark in so many ways. But yet he was going to send forth his spirit and provide that rest that they all needed. Hosea, the 6th chapter, talks about it. Verse 1, in Hosea 6 says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as a latter and former rain unto the earth." Oh yes, that was a rain of his spirit. He was going to pour forth his spirit, and you know, if they would go forth and follow the Lord to know him, that he would send forth that rain. And here's that promise that, you know, he would revive them. The third day he would raise them up and they would live in his sight. And so it was, we know, at Pentecost. He sent forth his spirit and there they were gathered there on that feast day of Pentecost. And he did as he had said he would do. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh at that point. And we know that there were people from all parts of the world there on the day of Pentecost. You know, if you look at Acts 2, they were so amazed because they could hear those 120 about that had been in the upper room and filled with the Holy Ghost. Those that gathered around them there, those that were celebrating that feast time of Pentecost, were so amazed because suddenly they could hear them speak in their own native tongues. And it was a miracle. And there were representatives there, mentions in Acts 2, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh yes, and they were amazed. They were so amazed. And we know that some were in doubt. Some thought that they had to be drunken, but Peter spoke up, didn't he? Peter anointed with the Holy Ghost. That, oh yes, he had just received, and began to lift up his voice and tell them, "Oh, we are not drunken as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." I love this. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh, praise the Lord. God be in no respecter of persons, but poured it out on all those that would come forth and return unto him and seek his face, those that he would call. So yes, that ensign was lifted up. And those nations, as it tells us in Isaiah 11, they gathered out, the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, it tells us. And then it tells us the conflict. It says, "The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." All that conflict, Ephraim represented the 10 northern tribes. And of course, Judah, the 2 southern tribes, after it was split, after the kingdom of Solomon fell to pieces in that sense. But here it's talking about that conflict, that competition being ended. And instead, they fly upon the shoulders of Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them the east together. They shall lay hands upon Edom and Moab. The children of Ammon shall obey them. There's a breaking down of the barriers here, the things, oh, that had been in the way, the hindrances and all of that. And suddenly that tongue of the Egyptian sea shall be destroyed. With his mighty wind, the Lord, shall he shake his hand over the river and shall smite it with the seven streams, and men shall go over dry shod. Oh yes, he delivered the Israelite people, the Hebrew people, across the Red Sea, didn't he? Oh yes, he delivered them, and they went across it in dry shod. This time, he was going to do a spiritual deliverance. He was going to break down the spiritual barriers and hindrances, the things that kept them apart. And instead, it says here in verse 16, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, he was going to make a way for his people to be gathered together, to come back, to be gathered, to be recovered, that remnant of his people that he would call. So this would be a spiritual regathering, God making a way for his people so that they could cross over in spite of all the barriers, in the physical sense, and all the hindrances. Those things would be dissolved. Oh, he's talking about a highway for the remnant of his people. Let's also go to Isaiah 35 and read a little bit more about that highway that the Lord was going to bring about. And here in the 35th chapter of Isaiah tells us in verse 1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. You know, it's just kind of amazing, the terminology here. He's talking about places that were barren, the wilderness, the solitary places, the desert. All at once, he's talking about them coming alive, blossoming as the rose. And not only just blossoming as a rose, just coming alive, but, you know, it says, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. And then he talks about the glory of Lebanon. Oh, yes, Lebanon was known for its beautiful forest, its fruitfulness and all of that, but it's talking about abundance. And I love how it was, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us life, didn't he? And life abundantly. Oh yes, he said the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I believe this is what he's talking about, all this time when, oh yes, our lives would be changed, and we could come alive in the Lord, and we could receive the blessings of the Lord. And there's that rejoicing, because all at once, the barren places, the wild wilderness, and the solitary places of the desert come alive, and the Lord begins to work, and they begin to blossom and be fruitful. And even abundantly, and there's that rejoicing with joy and singing. Oh, yes, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, all these places that were known for their beauty, for their fruitfulness. Oh, yes, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Oh, yes, that's how he comes to us. You know, when we're dead in our sins. Oh, yes, when we humbled ourselves and cried out to the living God and gave it all over to him. Oh, praise the Lord. He came into our life, didn't he? And he began to change things, began to take away the things that were parched and naked and barren and unfruitful. And all at once, oh, yeah, he gave us something to rejoice for. He gave us hope that was deep, the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could rejoice with joy in singing, oh, praise the Lord. Then verse 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Oh, praise the Lord restoring, the Lord bringing back, the Lord compensating for all the evil that the devil had tried to fling upon us. How he tried to hinder us and keep us down. Oh, yes, mark us and, you know, bring all kinds of condemnation into our lives. But the Lord Jesus came to give us hope, and so that he could say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Oh, yes, he's coming to make things right. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. And then it talks about all the wonderful works of our Savior. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord does. Oh, what Jesus did when he came to this earth. You know, people that were blind, people that were deaf, people that couldn't walk, that were lame, people that were dumb and could talk, hopeless conditions. But Jesus came into this scene. Oh, Jesus came to heal, to save, to restore, to deliver. Jesus came to those parched places, oh, where it was so barren and so hopeless and so deserty. But there he came, and all at once he was bringing forth the living waters. A wonderful living waters. It tells us here, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams of the desert. Oh yes, places where there was no water or very limited water. All at once, the water breaks forth. And all at once, there's streams in the desert. And it talks about the parched ground, ground that is so parched. It's maybe cracked, it's so parched. But suddenly, that parched ground becomes a pool. Oh, the thirsty land springs of water. Oh, yes, the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, the barren land, the hopeless desert becoming fruitful. Oh, as the Lord Jesus comes into the scene and begins to restore, to bring about that hope of the living waters. It's no wonder there in John the 7th chapter, verse 37, it tells us in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, you know, you're thirsty, you're empty, you need something, let him come unto me and drink. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, then it tells us clearly there in that 39th verse, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, again, those living waters began to rush forth. Oh, yes, they gave forth that water, the Spirit of the living God coming into our lives, so that out of our innermost being, out of our belly, those living waters would begin to flow. Oh yes, that life, that eternal life that springs up within us. Oh yes, to take away the darkness, to take away the despair, to give us hope, to give us everlasting life, those waters. Oh yes, that Jesus described to the woman at the well. Oh yes, when he said to that woman of the well in John the 4th chapter, Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Thinking of that water at the well. But verse 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, yes. Gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost, that well of water. He said, if you drink of this water, you're not going to thirst again. That water of life that he gives us satisfies our soul. So we don't have to go here and go there and wander around and try to figure it out and, you know, try to seek out something that has meaning, that has lasting, you know, potential. No, he has offered us the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, that well of water that springs up within our inner being as a well of everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord, it's a well so deep that it never goes dry. There's always more, there's always more, there's always those refreshing. We can always drink and receive what we have need of from the living God. And how precious that is. Oh, yes, those are the waters that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 35. Oh, that parched ground that shall become a pool. Just, you know, I remember, you know, those several years ago when, you know, we had a famine here. Well, it wasn't a famine, but it was, you know, it was a very dry period. And that ground became so parched, and instead of, you know, seeing grass growing, you could see cracks in the soil, and it wasn't pretty. It was very worrisome, and, you know, and not beautiful to see at all. But here it talks about that parched ground shall become a pool. Oh yes, all at once, drenched and fruitful and flowing over, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Well, I'll tell you what, it's so beautiful. And I do thank God we had a wealth of rain this last summer. And you know, even now the grass is still green out there. You know, even in August when it was hot, you know, it was still green. The Lord gave us lots of rain. And what a difference that makes. You know, put that in contrast to no rain for days and days and days, even months. Oh, yes, when it rains, things grow and are nourished. But beyond that, here in Isaiah 35, it talks about that highway shall there be. Verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, that wonderful highway of holiness. Oh, yes, it's the way that Jesus prepared for us. Oh, yes, when he came to this world, he truly declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way to get to God at all. But that's that highway that Jesus was talking about. He also said in Matthew the 7th chapter, the need to enter in at the straight gate. Yes, he said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Oh yes, but he said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, yes, he's talking about that highway. that he prepared for his people. And it describes it here in Isaiah 35. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. And then he says, but it shall be for those. And then he interjects here, the wayfaring men, the fools shall not err therein. You're not going to just going to wander into it. And then he says, there's no unclean thing that's going to be found on that highway. It says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But God has a people that he's redeemed, a people that enter through the door of that straight gate that Jesus clearly described and said, that I am the door, he said. And he said, you know, if you try to go up another way, you're just a thief and a robber. There's only one way to get to God. And you know, no matter what you say, you know, even if they say all roads lead to Rome, there's not 1,000 ways to get to heaven. No, it's a straight and narrow way that the Lord Jesus prepared and decreed. And it's a highway of holiness. It's the way of holiness. And it clearly tells us here that the unclean do not pass over it. They just don't do it. It takes a washing, a regeneration, a renewing of the Holy Ghost, as it tells us in the book of Titus, the 3rd chapter. It takes us coming to the Lord in repentance and submission to him, and truly giving our hearts over to the Lord. And as it tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, we could just go there a minute here. To Romans, the 12th chapter, is Paul is beseeching the people in his letter there, where he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'll tell you what, that's the way of holiness. It isn't bound by being conformed to the world. In fact, God has set forth for himself a people that are peculiar, people that are holy, a people that esteem the word of God and count it to be precious. And here Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's beseeching them, he's pleading with them. He's telling them, by the mercies of God, the need to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto God. He said, holy, acceptable unto God. And he said, this is just reasonable. This is your reasonable service. This is what God expects. And then the words, not to be conformed to this world. Oh, yes, there's a lot of people that really want to know the Lord or have a desire anyway or want to be called a Christian, but they don't really want to change, it seems. You know, they just, you know, seem to keep on the same path that they pursued before. But we can't be conformed to the world if we're really a Christian. Instead, the Lord's going to come into our lives. That Holy Ghost is going to give us transforming power so that we don't stay the same, so that we have ability and power beyond that which we could ever have in ourselves as we learn to rest in the Lord and to walk on that highway of holiness. Oh, yes. So it's through that transformation. that God begins to come into our life and begins to change us so that, you know, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That transformation that the Lord gives us, and in that sense we prove what is that good, and it says acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God does have expectations of his people. He always did. He had expectations of his old covenant people. Only they didn't walk in that way. He expected them to be a peculiar people that did live the same way that the heathen people lived in, that didn't do the things that the heathen people did, that didn't bow down to their idols and serve those idols as the heathens did, but instead were transformed. And, you know, walked with him. And you know, of course, that point, yeah, they were certain things that would make them separated from the others. They were to be a holy people, and that meant to be separated. God expected that of them. Only the sad story is that even when they came out of Egypt so miraculously, they still had Egypt in their heart for the most part, obviously. They were soon, you know, bending down to a golden calf and worshiping that, and, you know, all kinds of other things. You know, if they didn't like what was happening, they would threaten to go back. They would threaten to get rid of Moses or whatever all, and Aaron and those that were leading them by the hand of God. They didn't do well at all. They didn't live up to the expectations of God. I praise the Lord had another plan and another way he was going to bring forth a people. Of course, that was his new covenant plan. Oh, yes, and it had been ordained before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. His plan was that he would bring forth his spirit, that he would put it within us so that we would be directed by the Spirit of God, and we would hear the voice of the Lord directing our lives, that, you know, we would know what is right and we would know what is wrong. He would write the law in our inner parts, in our minds, in our hearts, so that we could know what the expectations of our Almighty God is. Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He's telling them a lot of things they were told, you know, in that chapter. Verse 9, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is to be a difference when we come to the Lord. He told them in verse 9, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord, that was his plan, that, you know, God would put on flesh and come to this world to raise up a people, to seek and to save. Oh, yes, bring forth a new covenant in his blood so that we would have to offer the blood of bulls and calves to try to obtain remission of sins. But yet he took that place for all of us there on the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, so that we might be redeemed, so we might be restored, and so that we might be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be sanctified, that we might be made holy, in other words, that we might be justified, made just in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And that's wonderful. And as this 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians ends, Paul is writing to them. He said, in verse 18, to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. All the works of the flesh. And then it says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He said in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That price that he bought us with. Oh, I'll tell you what, it describes that price in 1 Peter. The first chapter of 1 Peter. It says in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, the redemption of our souls had a great cost to it. It wasn't with corruptible things. It wasn't something that you could buy with silver and gold or anything tangible like that at all. But instead, it was with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And I love how he says in verse 20 here in that first chapter, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine this? I mean, this is astonishing to me, that God, in his plan, from the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, I mean, he planned this whole thing, this redemption process. He created man in his own image and put him on the earth and you know, put him in that beautiful garden. But he knew what was going to happen, obviously. And he already had a plan set forth, a plan of redemption. It wasn't, you know, just in case sort of thing, but God knew it and ordained it and planned it. Foreordained it before the foundation of the world. I just, you know, I marvel at that. A Savior who would love us so much that, you know, not only would he make us, but he would have a plan to redeem us. Not with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation. And that word conversation actually in the Greek includes conduct. It's more than just what's vocal, but the whole way we live and conduct our living, the things that we receive from tradition, from our fathers. But, you know, that's, you know, it took something beyond the norm to redeem us, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're told in 1 Corinthians, that sixth chapter, that we are bought with a price. And therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. You know, we belong to him. Therefore, we are ambassadors for him. We represent his kingdom. We know we're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And it truly, we should be embarrassed by the things that are in the world, the things that the people that are out there do, the places they go, the things they seek, the way they dressed. Tell you what, it's a shame and a reproach. But God's people are not so. Not so at all. If we look at 1 Peter 1 again here, it tells us here in verse 14, first chapter of 1 Peter, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, when we were out there in the world, there were many things we didn't know. I mean, you know, we were probably just good old guys, good old gals, you know, just, you know, conforming, doing what everybody else did, you know, without the willpower or ability, to live beyond that. That was the norm. But then the Lord, the light of the gospel, shines into our hearts, and, you know, He brings forth the Holy Ghost. And therefore, we have a strength that we didn't have before. We have a power that we didn't have before. And all at once, yes, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are changed. All things have become new. And so therefore, it tells us here in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Oh, the things we did out there, the way we dressed, the way we fashioned ourselves. And I'll tell you what, God's people, we're going to stand out, you know, if we're different. You know, the trends, the fashions of this world change every year, pretty much, you know. They always got something going, you know. It's, you know, maybe mini skirts one minute or long skirts with great slits. I'll tell you what. Or maybe it's tight pants that are so embarrassing and reproachful that I don't even like to talk about it. But if the Holy Ghost is in our heart, He begins to talk to us and change us, then we don't want to do the things that we once did. We don't want to fashion ourselves after our former lusts at all. Oh, we begin to see that, you know, the way of the world is not the way of holiness. It is not that highway of holiness that Isaiah was talking about in that 35th chapter of Isaiah. But it's a new and it's a living way. Our bodies become temples of the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is dwelling in our hearts, there are things we cannot do. It would be a shame and a reproach. We don't want to bring reproach to the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what, we have to watch out. The world is always trying to redirect lives, to, you know, get us to conform rather than to be transformed, to, you know, to dress like everybody else. And I'll tell you what, God's ways are not our ways. And you know, God has decreed that we would be unholy people. I'll tell you what, if we go to Isaiah 47 here for a moment. Looking at the first verse here in Isaiah 47, it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man." I'll tell you what. Nakedness is not to be uncovered. It's, you know, there is a way that God has decreed. There's a shame with that. And I'll tell you what, I don't even know sometimes if I like summer, because, you know, what you see is embarrassing and reproachful. I'll tell you what, God's people should have no part of that at all. It's, you know, it talks about slavery here. You take the millstone and grind meal, uncover thy locks, it needs to cut the hair, you know, so that it's shame, fully short. Make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. Come on, we're supposed to be covered. We're supposed to be clothed. And I'll tell you what, it did tell us in Deuteronomy 22 that the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. It says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. There's supposed to be a distinction, you know, between men and women. And you know, there's an order that God has put forth. It's in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It gives us that order. It tells us very clearly that a woman is given hair as a covering. And that, you know, if a man has a covering, then it's a shame for him. But if a woman has that covering, it's a glory for her. And that's the order that God has described. And there's not to be any debate about that. You know, Paul was writing there to the Corinthians. Verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And it clearly describes that need here, that order that God has ordained here by his laws and decrees. But here we live in a world, you know, that people seem to have forgotten the ways of the Lord, or otherwise they disguise, they despise it and reject it and do what they want to do. But God has a highway of holiness that he has ordained for his people. In Isaiah, the 4th chapter, it speaks a bit about that. It says in verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Oh yes, the church of the living God is a church that is holy and given over to the Lord, separate from the world and living in righteousness. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Oh yes, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A church, a glorious church that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a glorious church that doesn't despise the ways of the Lord. Oh, it says here in Isaiah 4, verse 4, where the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Oh, yes. That is what God ordained, that he would have a people that have been called forth unto his glorious light, unto the glorious gospel, and that have given themselves over to the Lord. And that follow after him with all their heart, with all their soul. Yes, because as it tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, looking at verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we could never make up for what God has done for us. That wonderful redemption that he made possible for us. You know, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Oh, that precious blood that he shed for us when he foreordained that plan, that, you know, God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator, oh yes, the one that has all power, he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to come to this world to seek and to save us, to restore us, to bring us back, to give us hope. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, enough with them. They're wayward. They're wrong. They go to their own way. They're rebellious. I don't want anything to do with them. He could have just cut us off. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, you know, our filthiness, our own righteousness is just filthy rags. You know, there's nothing good about us of ourselves. But the Lord came that he might bring forth a people that are called forth to serve him and to be his own peculiar treasure, and that would walk with him, and, you know, that would not fashion themselves after the ways of the world, or walk in the path of the world, or do the things that the world do, the things that the world does, or, you know, listen to the things that the world listens to, talk like the world. I'll tell you what, there's a difference in God's people, the holy, set-apart people that he has brought forth in his own blood, that, oh yes, we might represent that glorious kingdom. Oh yes, that we might be that holy nation, that separate people that he has foreordained, that glorious church without spot, without blemish, that he has foreordained with his own blood, that we might walk on that highway of holiness. Oh yes, you know, yeah, we're going to stand out a little bit if the world is, you know, going their own way and doing their own thing. Yeah, but we're not to conform to this world. Instead, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way we could do it is by giving everything over to the Lord and letting him change us, letting him mold us and make us, and not rebelling against his ordinances, his ways, the things that he would put in our hearts. Oh yes, as it tells us in Isaiah 35 again, the Lord as he restores, oh yes, verse 7, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, a fruitful plain, a fruitful place. Blessings of the Lord. And a highway shall be there. And a way, a way. He made a way for us that we could walk therein. This is a way, walking in. In it, he told us, you go not to the right or to the left, but you walk, you stay on that road, that narrow road, that straight gate that he has opened up for us, that we could walk on it. You know, I just recall at the moment that vision that the Lord gave me a few years ago. It was just a simple thing, but what I saw was just, I could see a path, and you could call it, obviously it was that highway, that way of holiness that the Lord has decreed. I could see this path. And what I noticed, it just kept on and kept on. But it was very, very straight. And it wasn't very wide. It just, you know, you could see it continuing and continuing as, you know, it went forth. But it didn't curve around or didn't circle. It was very straight. And what else I could see is that as I was walking on that path, you know, I could see there was light. Particularly there at the front, I could see the thicket and all the trees. They were opened so that, you know, I could see very, very clearly. And then as the path continued, it was darker. And the things, the brush and all that was still kind of covering the path. And I realized that the Lord was showing me that straight and narrow way that He has for His people, that path. And as we walk it, He begins to open it up so that we can see as He directs us, as He leads us, we can see. He makes an opening for us. But we have to enter at that straight gate. We have to stay at that narrow path. We can't wander off, you know, beyond is the woods, is the thicket, is the darkness. But if we walk that straight and narrow way on that path, the Lord walks with us. He leads us. He's the good shepherd. He leads us, and it begins to open up the light. Our glorious God shines in front of us so that we can see and know and hear Him say, this is a way, walk ye in it when you go to the right and when you go to the left. Oh yes, as it says here in Isaiah 35, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fool, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But praise God, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. The things, oh yes, that are ahead of us if we could just stay on that highway of holiness. Oh yes, and not wander off to the right or to the left. But we keep God going. It's a narrow path. Jesus said, few there be that find it. But praise the Lord. God has given us of His Spirit so that we might know His ways and that we might follow after Him and we might do His will. We might be His own peculiar treasure. Oh yes, that rare jewel that He has reserved for Himself, that we might be part of that glorious church that He has reserved for Himself, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh yes, we might be holy. We might be separate. I just praise the Lord. Oh, I thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank You that You've redeemed us not with corruptible things as silver and gold. Oh Lord, but with that precious blood of Christ, Lord. Oh God, You foreordained, oh Lord, from the foundation of the world. And oh God, You made a plan, a provision for us, oh Lord, that we might walk in the way that You have ordained. I pray, oh God, that You talk to our hearts, that You help us. God, that You pull us, oh God, away from the world. And oh God, I pray, oh God, that You give us the strength and the boldness. Oh God, the desire to walk in Your ways. Oh God, that, oh Lord, that You might be glorified in us. Oh God, that, oh Lord, we might be Your people, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, we would represent you, Lord. Oh God, in the way that you would foreordain. Oh God, and I thank you, God. Oh God, give us all strength. Oh God, and oh God, the wonderful, glorious leading of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that, oh God, you would walk in us and be in us and move in us, oh God, that the world could see you in us, Lord. The light of the glorious gospel would shine in us. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord, and we praise you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, yes, whom he has redeemed from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, there's a song that just kept coming to mind during that message, and it's number 269. 269 in the hymnal, Springs of Living Water, number 269. Stood in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. At the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.